Hey, you're listening to the Speaking of Music podcast.
Hey guys, we're back.
And this week we have a super exciting episode. We are finally covering SM3 by Shawn Mendes.
We are covering the album Shawn Mendes by Shawn Mendes. I'm so excited. Resident Shawn girl here. I had the biggest Shawn Mendes phase. It was like all encompassing, like full world body shaking type of love, and it's still
sobbing
there.
When you received a Shawn Mendes Christmas present.
Oh my god, I still love him so much, and this is my favorite album. This was like the height of my love. This was the pinnacle of my existence when it came out. So I'm very excited to talk about it.
Okay, so let's jump right into some background info.
So it was his third studio album, and it was released May 25th, 2018. And the singles were In My Blood, Lost in Japan, Youth, Where Were You in the Morning, and Nervous. And there are 14 tracks on the original release, which is what we'll be covering today.
Okay, so let's jump right into rankings.
Okay, so I'll start. I'm so excited. Okay, so my rankings are Nervous, Particular Taste, Like to Be You, Fallen All in You, In My Blood, Mutual, Queen, When You're Ready, Lost in Japan, Where Were You in the Morning, Because I Had You, Why, Perfectly Wrong, and Youth.
My rankings are Nervous, Mutual, Lost in Japan, Fallen All in You, Like to Be You, In My Blood, When You're Ready, Because I Had You, Where Were You in the Morning, Perfectly Wrong, Why, Particular Taste, Queen, and Youth.
And my rankings are In My Blood, Nervous, Mutual, Why, Lost in Japan, Like to Be You, Fallen All in You, Because I Had You, When You're Ready,
Yes, You,
Particular Taste, Queen, Youth, Perfectly Wrong, and Where Were You in the Morning.
Okay, so let's just get started. Let's jump right in because we have a lot of things to say.
Quite different rankings here,
which is really interesting because I think recently we've been agreeing a little bit more.
Yeah.
I don't know what that tells you about to us. Okay. We say that, but just wait until this bonus episode that's coming with this album and you'll see, maybe we do agree just a little bit more. Okay. So the first song, unsurprisingly, is Victoria's favorite.
I think... Okay, so In My Blood was the lead single for this album, and it had a very good radio presence.
Mm-hmm.
So it was the song from this album that I heard the most, that I was most familiar with. It's been like 4 years, so.
Yeah.
So I guess in defense of where I put it in my rankings, I think that this song had a really successful, you know, time on the radio, and it did not get overplayed, at least for me. So it did not get, you know, ruined in any way or any of that that might happen for other songs that are on the radio a lot. And I also really like the production of the song, the use of drums to build up the song, and of course the concept.
Yeah. The song is a really strong single off of the album, and as Victoria said, it was really heavily promoted and it was on the radio a lot. I love the song, but for me, I just heard it all the time. Like, so I'm a little bit upset to say that it was overplayed for me, but the song is just so good.
I think that I've let it marinate. I think I've let it like sit in my system for long enough that it doesn't matter how many times it was played in 2018, 2019, because it's been a while and I love this song. And I didn't really appreciate how like, I guess, vulnerable this was and how bold of a choice it was at the time.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because I was a kid and I didn't really understand the depth of a lot of art. And I think production-wise and, like, stylistically, this kind of pushed in the direction he wanted to go. And it's kind of very interesting because it's still very true to the Illuminate era, which is very just, like, acoustic guitar type of music. And then this just introduces the new production elements he starts to experiment with and eventually, you know, fully immerses himself in it. Wonder, which, you know, is really interesting. I really like this song. I think I guess in the defense of Victoria, I did rank this album a lot based on nostalgia and how I feel about it. And we'll get to that. Like later on, you'll definitely see So I totally get it, but you know, nothing but love for In My Blood.
Okay, and with that, we can move on to the next track.
Which is Nervous.
Yeah.
Oh, guys.
I love this song.
Nervous is the it girl of this album. She is the it girl of this era. She's the it girl forever.
Yeah.
This might be one of my favorite Shawn Mendes songs ever.
This song is so good.
It might be my favorite ever. I haven't really decided. When I was little, I could have told you, like, 100% truly, wholeheartedly, that my favorite song was Honest. As if, like, I had ever related to some. I was like, I relate to this song.
Sure.
No, you don't, girl. No, was like, you are 11.
What I love about this song is how it goes from that, like, super talky and very casual verse straight into this, like, very jolting chorus. It's like...
Yeah, I thought the structure and the melody of the chorus was very, very interesting. Not something that I expected, I guess, coming out of In My Blood.
And I think this song was really cleverly structured because, you know, the verses are very, like, calm. And then you just get hit with this adrenaline-filled chorus that perfectly mimics the feeling of being nervous around someone, I think.
It's so exciting.
It just hits you unexpectedly.
It's like happy, nervous butterflies in a song. Like, okay, first of all, it's kind of like, you know, Skinny Dipping by Sabrina Carpenter tried to do this, but they're always in a cafe.
Yeah.
It could be a Wednesday.
They're in a cafe.
Anyway, but he just, like, sees her and he's explaining that his heart's racing, his hand shaking, the adrenaline kicks in, and then boom, the chorus full of the adrenaline and the energy is just there. It is so exciting.
And it's so adorable.
And I love this song. And I really like the bridge. It's so much fun. You got me acting like I've never done this before.
Yeah.
And it's like, when he just, like, starts getting, like, really into it, like, the whole, like, yeah.
I like the background repetition of, like, the lyrics in the chorus. You know what I mean? Like, that part.
I get a little bit nervous.
And this is definitely, like, I like how it's less of a mature excitement and more of, like, a boyish excitement. That just makes it all the more, you know, adorable and endearing.
Yes. Also, he wrote this with Julia Michaels, which makes sense.
It does make sense.
A lot of this, like, Julia Michaels songs on this album make sense. And, well, I mean, we'll get to it. there is actually one featuring her, which is fun.
Okay. Let's move on to the next track, which is Lost in Japan.
This
song is really big for me.
It was definitely, you know, the other big song that came out of this album.
Yeah. And back when it, you know, first came out and around that time, this was a song that I was really attached to, even though I never considered Shawn Mendes to be, like, one of my, you know, favorite artists back then.
This was just
a song that I attached to.
I remember, like, just a lot of people in general just really liking this song.
Yeah, because you know what I think it was? This song, I mean, this album as a whole too, but this song kind of brought a very different vibe from his music before, and it was something, you know, the album as a whole was something more grown up, and, you know, we watched him grow as both a person in age and character and with his music. So this was a step forward with his music that was very different from what we'd seen before. So I think that really caught people's attention, and the more jazzy, you know, sophisticated type of production we got within this album was just really enticing to a lot of people.
Personally, I think the chorus it just sounds like nostalgic to me. Just the melody of it sounds like a pop song before 2018. I can't really place a year to it, but it sounds like it should have been released before 2018.
I also remember being obsessed with the music video.
Yes.
Like, just having an obsession with the music video.
I think I had so much fun with this song. When he goes, "Do I gotta convince you that you shouldn't fall asleep?" I was like, "I just should have fall asleep." Like, I was living, loving, like,
doing
someone was, like, first of all, like, I was rich enough to just hop on a plane and just see someone for one night.
Yeah.
Also, second, that somebody would want to do that for me.
I know, that idea was just so much
I was
fun.
Like, wow. Wow.
You're giving very much Wattpad.
It's giving your name.
I like how it's Japan, because I feel like that's, or like Asia in general to people from North America seems so, like, Far away. I feel like it's different. Like Europe is more like intertwined and more in people's minds in North America.
No, but that's a good point.
Right? But Asia seems so like amazing and like, interesting.
The
and
fact that he's flying into Japan for a single night.
And mysterious. He's like, oh, so I'm mysterious. Just
a couple hundred miles away. What?
A couple hundred?
Okay, but I will say this. Japan, like, singers and like artists in general are obsessed with Japan. Like Harry wrote like half of his album in Japan, like twice.
Ariana, right?
Yeah, they all just like go to Japan. I'm like, what are you guys doing?
What, like, what kind of magic fountain are they drinking out of in Japan? Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
Okay, let's move on to Where Were You in the Morning.
Okay, before we get started on this conversation, I thought it was so funny how I started and I go, where were you in the morning?
Yeah, where
and then
were
both
you?
Of you guys were like, where were you in the morning? I was like, oh, where were you in the morning? Especially Vic.
Where were you in the morning?
I was like, oh.
Where were like, you
I
in
just,
the morning?
I say it like the song says it.
Yeah. But yeah, this song was another very jazzy and
it was cute.
And it was cute.
And like simple and not very like loud or anything like that.
Yeah, I love the post chorus. Like, how do you just walk away?
I like that part too. I'm gonna be honest though, the chorus wasn't my favorite in this album. And I know I'm judging it harshly. Like, I know that, but I just wasn't a big fan of the melody.
I wasn't like wowed by it. For me, it was kind of just like a track on the album. No, because I think it's a good point to bring up that I can hear like Sean's Justin influences in his songs.
I'm gonna get to that.
I think there's one song that like really sounds like a Justin song.
I'm gonna get to that. I have it in my notes, and I pinned down the Justin song too.
The thing is, I don't want to hear it.
The thing is, it's true.
I don't want to hear it.
It's true. We have to talk about it
because. Why did he become a better Justin Bieber? Like, why did he do everything Justin did and more? Okay, let's move on to the next track, which is Like to Be You,
which features Julia Michaels.
I love this collaboration beyond words.
This song shook me violently when it came out, and my mom too.
they are just such a good pairing.
I know, it makes so much sense. Just, mm-hmm. you know, songwriting wise and also vocally wise,
they just, their voices just sound perfect together.
Okay, this is gonna sound so a little strange, but Julia Michaels writes her best songs like in collaboration with like awesome people, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I was considering starting a playlist called, okay, hear me out, it's supposed to be called Bop Tropica, and it's supposed to be like, oh, this bop, and I was like, why is Julia Michaels all over this playlist, like, but not
so Bop Tropica, no.
The current one I have right now is,
the thing is my, I remember my, like, true introduction to Julia Michaels was Issues.
I got an issue.
Okay, I hate that song. The thing about Issues was that it was such a big song in, like, whenever it came out, like, 2016 ish. It's like fifth grade.
Yeah.
It was something like that. Time. And I just remember, it was a really big thing, the misheard lyrics about how it was his shoes and not issues.
Oh,
and
Lord.
I thought that was hilarious as a 10-year-old. Like, hilarious.
All I remember is thinking she was a genius for being like, but I got issues. And one of them is how bad I need you. I was like, oh my God, she's okay. So smart. Like, tying it back.
Okay, back to this song.
The first lyric absolutely kills me in writing. Don't cry
or do. No, okay. I was about to bring up the lyrics because I have expressed my immense love for the song and how it sounds, but I have some issues with some of the lyrics here.
I don't really.
I do. The chorus, I'm not a big fan of the chorus. I'm just going to say it.
No, lyric-wise. I agree.
Lyric-wise. Because it just goes, I don't know what it's like to be you. I don't know what it's like, but I'm dying to. If I could put myself in your shoes, then I know what it's like to be you.
No, but that's...
It sounds like a Dr. Seuss poem.
No, it doesn't.
That's a guess. It does. No, but I think it's just that...
Dr. Seuss would never have the first line and the last line end with the same word.
Yes, he would.
No, he wouldn't.
Yes, he would.
No, he wouldn't.
He would make up a word.
He would make up a word, exactly.
No, I think I kind of agree with Anisha, like, for me, when I listened to the song, it wasn't like the concept is there.
It's just, I think the way it was, chorus adds to it.
Yeah.
Tell me what's inside of your head, no matter what you say. Yeah, I think, US, and I think that, said that I do.
Worked it's, better because there was just more it's time so to cute. Say more things.
Right. But, you know, the fact that, you know, the melody's great, the harmonies are amazing.
Right.
I can look past
right sonically it's issues great.
And it's produced, it's in my
up,
top five.
Hold up, it's produced by John Mayer.
Listen guys, it's time to have a conversation about how we hate John Mayer a little too much.
No, we do. Okay, let me go back to the defense of Like to Be You. I think the issue is I would die for this song. Like, this is like Sophia's 2018 nostalgia, like popping out, like ready to like dig her claws into anyone who says anything bad about it. But like, I understand what you're trying to say. I'm just like having a hard time processing it because it's not.
No, I get they're
very
that
near
too.
And dear to my heart. I think like the toxic kind of like vibe in the verses works really well. And then like the second chorus really just like takes it home, right? And then the bridge, the line right before into the final chorus, like the every time we argue and get caught up in the moment, it gets really exciting. Like,
sure.
This song is just so emotional, but also like chill. I don't know. I feel like.
Okay.
I feel like I can't handle any slander, so we need to move on.
Okay, we probably should move on to Fallen All on You, which was co-written by Ed Sheeran.
Eddie!
He is everywhere.
Ed Sheeran?
Talking about how I didn't, like, abbreviated words without, like,
a G. Oh, apostrophes, yeah.
This one's all right. This like, one's I don't fine. Like it, like, but I don't love it, but I'm not going to be angry, you know?
I think it's better, like, this way because there's words after there's it, words. And it's not just, like, it ends like that, you know?
Breathe in.
I did not understand this song when I was little. Not little, okay? Like, I was old enough to understand it. It's an embarrassing moment. This is called Sophia's stupidity moment. The chorus. I'm thinking, baby, you are bringing out a different kind of me. There's no safety net that's underneath. I'm free falling all on you. I was like, yes, it's supposed to be a play on words. And I didn't get that. And then also falling all in, you fell for men who weren't how they appeared. Like it all like flows together.
All in
and the you way, know. The way you chop it up changes like what it means.
And I right. love songs like that.
I didn't I know. Get it. I didn't get it. Now I do. If you didn't get it, now you do.
And it's like the still call me this. Psycho vibe.
Yeah, this is it. And that was written with Ed Sheeran, I think.
Oh my God, it's Ed Sheeran's fault. The first time I listened to it, I also just did not hear the free fallen part.
I love that part.
Thank you.
I know, I just, I don't, I don't know. Year, I just right? wasn't listening to the lyrics enough or something, but I listened to it again. I got it a little more. This, the concept, you know. Of
it's really good.
Falling.
It flows really well.
There's no safety net, guys.
The fact that the chorus is so like breathy also adds to that kind of free fall feeling.
Okay.
I guess
so. Right. One thing, closing thoughts. Sometimes I confuse this song with Where Were You in the Morning. Like I'll just I'll switch from the wrong verse to the wrong chorus, which happens to me a lot with One Direction songs because they all sound the same from like the album, especially in the first two One Direction albums, which is embarrassing. And kind of fake of me, but it's what happens.
No, sometimes I do that with Ariana songs. Like I just
when you know them,
like
all,
create into mashups, the next create mashups exactly. in my brain. I'm like my brain mashups are literally so clever.
Yeah,
like,
my mind is so powerful sometimes, and I don't even know it.
Let's move on to Particular Taste.
We have some particular thoughts about this one.
This song.
My issue with the whole song, I'm gonna jump right in, okay? God. My issue with the whole song is that she is just such a not like other girls girl. And that makes me so
no,
angry.
She's literally
yes,
not.
She is.
That's not my issue with it. The chorus is not my favorite chorus.
My issue is that Sean thinks she's not like other girls. Like, she probably is the same, right?
Oh, yeah.
He's probably like, oh my God, she's so particular. No, she just has, like, interest. Like you know what I mean? She's just interested in certain
the
things.
Only dances when it's comedy.
I was about to bring
I was like, hello.
It caught me off guard. I was like, what?
I think the pre-chorus is the best part of this song. I was really like that. The pre-chorus.
I was about to say that.
The pre-chorus the ooh, is the best part. Ooh going into it.
My issue with only dances with it when it's Kanye
is
going back
Kanye's
to this
music is not that danceable. That's my issue with it.
My issue is Sean is like obsessed with Kanye West. So is it her that only danced to Kanye, or is it Sean? Right? Like, okay. Anyway. I love the pre-chorus, so be quiet.
Okay.
No, we said we liked the pre-chorus. Oh,
okay. She's not listening.
I wasn't listening. I just heard the ooh, and I was like, do you not like
that? No, I like that. That's the best part of the song.
Okay, now that we agree. Okay. I love the chorus. I don't know what you're talking about, Victoria.
The little squeaky ad-libs are not it for me.
So I think the chorus is the best part, you know? She don't waste time on conversations. No, she just goes right for the face.
I think the final chorus is so good. The yes are definitely something.
Also, I don't think it was used just to be used,
but I just think it has a lot of like hard syllables in the middle that the way he says it is just, I mean, he kind of does that like the choppy, like particular.
I like it.
Also, you know what? This song sounds like Bad Liar and it's not as good as Bad Liar.
No.
Oh, yes, it does. No, I kind of agree with that.
You guys are haters because I love Bad Liar, but
I love Bad Liar.
This song is not.
This song sounds like Bad Liar, but a worse version.
Nope.
Yes.
Okay, you know what? Particular taste lovers, please send me a DM and please send Anusha a hate DM.
No.
So comment Anusha a hate DM if you got to this part of the episode.
Don't do that. I will literally dox you right back.
Okay.
She don't waste time on conversations, but we're wasting a little bit of time on this ad break.
Okay, we're back and we're going to talk about why. Let's talk about this. I have thoughts. We all definitely have thoughts right now. Yep. We have thoughts that are being thunk because this song is about Camila Cabello.
It's so bad how like the whole scene play out in my head with like Sean and like little Camila like in my head. Just
like I could see a play by play of this entire song. And he said that. He said every song that he's ever written that wasn't made up, that's about a real person, is about her pretty much. Like, and this was one of them. She went to his concert and like reposted this song.
This made so much sense.
We were like, girl, you're not slick.
You know what this is giving? This is giving Questions by Camila Cabello. Why did you leave me here to burn?
No, because why do they always do that?
Why are they obsessed with
why? It's like Dream, and it's like Dream of You. Questions, why? they're not. Ugh, anyway.
But I like this song.
I like this song too.
I think
it does a good job of having a nice little story moment. It's not my favorite thing that I can like see the Sean and Camila play by play.
I think that ruins it a little bit because I know the background stories of a lot of songs, right? And in a lot of times that elevates the experience, but I also don't want to, you know what I mean? Like, I don't want to have to strongly associate a song with two people. Like, I want to be able to just enjoy it sometimes. And maybe that's why.
I like the outro.
Me too. I was about to touch on the production a little bit of that chorus. I think it's really interesting why it's like a broken type of machine thing.
Yeah.
And not in like a Closure by Taylor Swift way, in a more like electronic type of way. And I really liked it. But it's also really obvious. I hear you sing, it gets hard to breathe. Can't help but think every song's about me. And every line, every word that I write, you are the muse in the back of my mind. Oh.
Wow.
Oh.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Anyway, it's very cute. But also, their stories, like, the way they tell their stories, they don't add up. They're both like, you're the one who didn't want me. Like, girl.
No, exactly.
They're like, I love you, but you don't want me. Guys, let's piece it together. If you guys are both saying that, maybe there is a common interest.
No, the thing is, though, I also find it so interesting that when they finally did get together and they, like, Wonder and Romance, like, came out. What's the timeline here? Romance came out.
Romance was first.
Yeah, Romance was
End of 2019.
And then Wonder was end of 2020.
Right. So Romance was written like most of the songs were before she got with Sean.
Yeah.
Right. And then a lot of Wonder is
after
like in the beginning parts, right?
Yeah.
Of that whole relationship. I'm kind of sad that we never got like true like in love songs from Camila, because it kind of just went from
honestly we kind of did from Familia, like we got Celia, which, and Hasta Los Dientes, but obviously you guys are not really like
no I've seen the I know what the lyrics are,
yeah, but I feel like it's a little different when you have to like translate them,
yeah, brains. But I just think it's very interesting how they're like releasing quiet of music, and that all of the timelines just
basically each album fills the holes that left, the like it ties up the loose ends that the last one left open. I know.
Yeah,
but anyway, yeah. But also Sean's are confusing because in the first three albums half of the songs are made up, like
yeah, so
like this next one is made up, I think. Okay. Actually no,
we are going to talk about Because I Had You.
Okay,
I like the concept of this song, I like it, but you know what, I'm gonna say it, and Sophia, don't hurt me. This what? Song sounds like Love Yourself.
I was going to say that. I was going to say that. It sounds like Love Yourself. But it's time for me to meet somebody new. It just sounds so like much
Love
like
Yourself.
By the Justin Love Bieber. Yourself.
And okay, but you know what? I couldn't get over that. I couldn't get over it. It's a good song, but I couldn't get over it.
Okay, I could get over it. I can't be, but I can tell that you're happy. Versus if you like the way you look that much, maybe you should go and love yourself. That was so aggressive.
That was so aggressive.
Okay, I like it. Okay. It doesn't have, there isn't like such a strong connection between the two songs that I can't get over it. I definitely did notice it as soon as I heard the chorus. It was definitely noticeable to me. But I like how this song is, like Sophia was saying, less aggressive. And, but I think that's just more of Sean's style in general, is to be less aggressive.
He's not very confrontational, even in songwriting.
Yeah, that's pretty true.
But I do like, I like a lot of these songs on this album are just so like cute, and
he is so cute. Come on, guys.
Like, he's such so innocent, like you're like, you don't want to hurt him. Like, why would you hurt him?
Why would you hurt him? Also, the bridge of this song is so much fun. Like the there's nothing.
Like, sure. Thank you for that demonstration.
You're welcome. This song is like heartbreaking, but then all of a sudden I'm like, there's nothing.
Sure.
Which is so bad of me. And this next song, I think I need to explain. We're going to talk about Queen now, and I think I need to explain why it's like kind of high. Because I can say this, like objectively not the best song on this album.
Yeah.
Objectively probably one of the worst. But this song had me in a chokehold, and I don't think I can ever let it go because I have such fond memories associated with this song. I thought I was that girl. I thought I was like, who made you the queen? Who did it?
Okay, so I, going into the song, I thought it was going to be about,
like, you're my queen.
Yes, you're my queen, that type of thing.
And me then, too.
And then the chorus goes, who crowned you queen?
Of you.
Of, okay. I was like, the sentence just stopped. And it literally goes, you think you're too cool making beautiful look ugly. And I was like, this doesn't sound like this does not sound like the way I thought it was going to go. I do think the concept is very interesting just because there was that factor of it didn't go the way that it was expected to go.
I will say the chorus is a bop.
It is.
That's what literally killed me in this part of the song. First of all, when it came out, I thought the lyrics were, who crowned you queen of youth?
No. No.
I thought he was making like a callback to that song.
No.
He wasn't.
No. Thank God he wasn't.
I just think this the song production-wise wasn't my favorite or just wasn't most compelling to me.
I think it's just nervous but not as good.
In the production,
yeah
element, I can see that.
It kind of has the same idea.
Yeah, it's not last for me. It's 11, which is like in the bottom half, but it's not last.
Minus 7 because
mine's 13.
I like, my heart used to beat for this song. Like, it was very interesting.
See, like, I like this song melodically. Like, it's catchy. I can give it that. I just thought that this song felt very like juvenile middle school to me.
Yeah, well, that's why I liked it in middle school.
Yeah, and I get that.
But like, I just feel like for an album that was trying and it did succeed to show, you know, a more mature side of Sean from his previous albums, I feel like the song just like maybe should have been on an older album. I don't know.
I don't think so. It doesn't really fit the style of
Of this album either that well.
I think it does. I think it did what it had to do, but it, you know what I mean? And maybe you don't like it, but it has its purpose here.
Like, the album could have done without the song. I agree. I know you don't like to hear that, but it could have done without the song.
Okay, fine. Well, anyways, let's move on before I do get angry.
Gonna move on to Youth, which features Khalid. I think that this song, I think that Khalid and Sean could have done better.
They could have done much better. So much better.
They could have done, they could have made a song that was just better.
Because let me tell you, I love Khalid. Okay. Mm-hmm. His music is so good.
I remember
when
Talk came out. Yes. And I was so obsessed. I was so obsessed.
I have listened at this point, like I've listened to so much of his discography and I love all of it. Okay. It is just so good. But this song, okay. I'm just gonna say it. This song could have totally been an Imagine Dragons song.
Oh my god!
Wait, so true, but so except true. For it'd be like, you can't take
my Yeah.
It would just be like more drum heavy,
more
and like
synth
rocky,
and more drum
yeah.
heavy, right? But you know, the concept was an Imagine Dragons concept. It also gave No Place for Hate.
Oh yeah, the No Place for Hate Club would have loved this song.
Right, they probably did eat it up.
Okay, so I think it's fine. Like, you know what I mean. I think the bridge could have used a little work. Pain, but I won't let it turn into hate. Like, no, I won't let it change me. I get what it was trying to do, but it did not deliver. Okay?
Yeah, it was trying to do something that...
The chorus is all right. Like, the chorus kind of delivered a little bit.
It made up for the chorus. Melodically, it definitely yeah. did deliver.
Also, like, it's kind of fun. Like, you can't take my youth away.
I think their voices still, like, go well together. Yeah. So it's not like it was a...
They both have such pretty voices, so it was fine. It just, you know, I liked this song a lot better when I was in my performative activism era, so.
Sure. Yeah. Okay.
When I was like, yes, I can change the world as a kid.
We're gonna move on to Mutual.
Oh my god, I love this song.
Me too. Okay, you guys aren't gonna like this, but I associate this song so closely to Queen.
No, go away.
Like, yeah, these, I would play both of these together, and I was like, I need to know. And then I'd play Queen, and then I'd go back and play this one, and then I'd play Queen. I was really, okay, I didn't understand, like, my tendency to hyperfixate until I kind of, like, started listening to more music and had a pattern. I just thought that I really liked Shawn Mendes, and that was it. But I... So obviously I have a pattern when I listen to music, and that's to hyperfixate, and now I'm more conscious of it, and I try to like not exhaust things like that. But you know what I mean? I was 12 when this came out, right?
Yes.
Okay, I was 12. This was in full force. I was ready to die.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I just, you know, this song also had a chokehold on me. No, I don't want to have to leave, but half of you's not enough for me. I was like, oh my god, girl boss.
I like that.
I thought, because Sean was for real girl bossing in both of these songs, in my opinion. Like, in Queen, he was being a girl boss. And then here, he was asserting his dominance.
Well, no. Dominance. I love the melody of the song. It is so catchy. And also the song structure is really, really good.
I like the way he just sings the chorus, because it's just, it's like explosive. It has a lot of like energy. I need to know.
And the rhyme scheme.
Okay, so let's move on to Perfectly Wrong. This song kills me, but I also can't put it any higher on my rankings, which is like my little thing. I love this album so near and dearly, but I really can't put it any higher, and I think that's hard to understand.
Okay, this song, I know what it was going for, and you know the whole like oxymoron of Perfectly Wrong. I personally thought the chorus was a little like bare.
Yeah.
It doesn't really have anything going on.
The best part is the, oh, why can't I quit when you break my heart open? When he starts like screaming. Mm-hmm. It's like an agony, which is interesting. But I think it's he delivers this in a very emotional type of performance. And I think that's what makes me like it.
Right? Yeah, I can see that.
And I don't know. I feel like it's kind of like the closer in a way, right? And then When You're Ready comes back and brings back those emotions in a more like positive light.
Right.
Like, no, this is like no, the emotional punch at the end, right? And then he's like, oh, well, let me take back everything I said. Like, you know, even though you're wrong for me, I'll like wait for you forever. Thanks.
I think the album did a good job of telling a story, like, yeah, in the track list, which, you know, I like because I just like when the listening experience includes like a story as well as like the music, obviously. Anusha, do you have anything to say about this song?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, I really like this song. I low-key did slander it.
I slandered
it. Just as Sophia said. But
you have to slander something.
You do. This song was so pretty and soft. And it also keeps with the very chill, jazzy vibe that the album has going on. So it's a very solid song.
Okay, let's move on to the final track, which is When You're Ready. This song makes me cry a little bit, which is sad, right? Like, it's kind of motivational, but I was like, this is so sad, like he'll wait forever. Anyway, I think I never realized how much Sean kind of taught, like, was emotionally in touch with his music. Yeah. Right, the way he uses his inflection in a really good way. And the way he, like, spaces out his words,
yeah,
on how, depending on how he's feeling, is really important and something he definitely has gotten better at over time. And this album really showcases that. And I think I just love it in this song. Like, he's rambling in the verse. And then in the chorus, he's like, oh, but when you're ready, you know, I'm waiting. I'll wait for you as long as it takes because I love you. And that's really cute.
Yeah. And, you know, the lyric, what if my dad is right when he says that you're the one?
That's so sad.
Okay, it reminds me of that, like, I don't remember if it was in, like, the Wonder documentary or something, and his dad was like, Camila's like my daughter.
That's actually so sad.
That is sad. Oh my god.
And I love how he's like, no, I can't even argue. I won't even fight him on it. Like, he knows too.
I know. This is definitely it's not like a happy song, but it definitely, I think, is a really good closer because it just, you know, expresses all the love,
yeah,
he has, all the love he can give. And, you know, it leaves the door open.
He's very much like all the love.
Yeah.
Like, okay. Also, I think my favorite lyric from the album might be from this song. Because I'm 3 hours back seems like you're always six ahead.
Oh, yeah.
Like, this girl is always ahead. Like, she's always got everything ahead of me and I'm just following her and I will follow her, you know? Which is, yeah, very, I mean, it's a little sad, but it's mostly hopeful. This song is optimistic, which I like because, you know.
Yeah,
you know, the
can't be too sad.
He's not that optimistic.
I love the strumming pattern of the guitar in this one so much.
Yeah,
it just adds so much to the song.
But yeah, we love this album so much. I love this album so much. It has brought so many memories to the front of my memory. It has resurfaced so many, and I'm very grateful that we do albums like this on the podcast for this very reason. If you have any albums that are nostalgic to you, be sure to let us know. We'll probably cover them.
Our Instagram is at the Speaking of Music Podcast.
And our TikTok is at Speaking of Music Podcast. So as always, feel free to leave us any suggestions, and we'll see you next week.
Bye! Bye.